Let's start talking a bit about yourself. So you were born in the Soviet Union from a pianist and very famous composer at the time, your father, and your mother that was an actress. Who was more important to your musical career?
Well, my father was a pianist, of course, but he was a pianist of light music pianist. So he never participated in my musical upbringing. Of course, he had to study in a proper music school, so he knew Beethoven and Brahms and Chopin, but he never played it. He became a pianist of light music. Therefore, he never participated in my musical upbringing. So I remember very well that my mother realized that I would like to study music and become a pianist, so she took me to a piano teacher, and I started having my lessons. My father was away on some trip, and he comes back one day, and I already play the piano. He never knew. He said, "Oh, you play the piano." I said, "Well, I went to a teacher, and I already am playing the piano." So he was quite surprised. So he never participated in my musical upbringing, never.
And that was when you were 6 years old, and then at 8 years old you go to Central Music School and then to the Moscow Conservatory. Yes. And you start studying with your teachers.
Yes.
Who is you consider to be the teacher that actually had the major effect on you?
Well, it's difficult to say. The first teacher was an Armenian lady, Mrs. Sumbatyan. She was very well educated as a musician, and a very very friendly lady, very good character, and a very nice person. She really liked very much teaching me, and she even prepared me for an international competition. I got a very high prize. After that, I went to the conservatory, where my teacher was Professor Oborin, who was a very famous pianist, very good. But his assistant, Mr. Zemlyansky, took great care of having lessons with me. So I would say that Mrs. Subatyan and Zemlyansky were probably the most important two teachers in my life.
And important in your career were the competitions, and your competitions were also controversial. Let's start with the very first one in 1955 in Warsaw, and this was the International Chopin Piano Competition, where you came second.
Yes. Well, actually, I was first and second rounds, so all the solo pieces, I was number one. But in the third round, the concerto, I didn't prepare terribly well because I had no chance of playing it many times before I came to Warsaw. So I didn't play it so well. So it gave me the second prize because of that.
Yes, the controversy that I was mentioning is that Arturo Benedetti Michelangeli, a famous pianist who was a judge, because they didn't vote you first, he was so upset that he left.
No, he didn't leave, but he didn't want to sign the final pieces of paper that give you first prize or second. He didn't sign the first prize for Mr. Harasevich, and when I went to his room in the hotel and said, "Could you sign my second prize?" "No," he said, "I will not sign your second prize. You should have been the first, so I will not sign your second prize paper." So he didn't.
How important was that?
I don't know. It was simply very strange that he didn't sign. I suppose I was impressed that somebody so important thought that I should have had the first prize. So it gave me kind of spiritual confidence that maybe I'm not so bad after all, that I could really do well. And in fact, next year I went to the famous Brussels competition, Reine Elisabeth de Belgique, and I got the first prize. It was very interesting. So imagine, if I got the first prize in Chopin, in Warsaw, I probably wouldn't have gone next year to Brussels, because after the first prize in a Chopin competition, you wouldn't go anywhere. But in a way, I'm lucky I got the second prize. So I went to Brussels, got first prize there.
Yes, but there is a competition you didn't want to go, and that is the most probably important competition today, is the International Tchaikovsky Competition in 1962.
Yes.
And you didn't want to go, but in the end you were forced to go by the Soviet Union authorities. Can you please tell us the story behind this pressure that was put on you?
Well, it's quite complex. Yes, it was difficult to say no, to get out of it. First of all, at that point, I just married a foreigner. Can you imagine? My wife, Icelandic lady, we got married in 1961, and the competition was in 62. So once you marry a foreigner, a capitalist foreigner, can you imagine? Icelandic capitalist in the Soviet Union. That was considered just kind of very negative. She had to become a Soviet citizen, can you imagine? Anyway, I won't give you all the details because it'll go forever. But since you asked me about why I had to participate, I was told by the Russian authorities in a few places, Ministry of Culture, et cetera, that if my wife doesn't become Soviet, I have no career. Finished. Okay, so she had to become Soviet. Then they said that I have to participate in the Tchaikovsky competition, otherwise I might forget about my career also. So I had to participate, and I didn't want to because the Tchaikovsky piano concerto is not good for my hands. Whatever gift I have for nature, but my hands for all these big octaves, big chords, are not very good. I'm not so big as a person, and this is not easy for me to play well. I in the end managed to play the concerto all right. I was again in the first and second round number one, but in the third round, although I played the concerto not too badly, but not great. But the Prokofiev concerto, which I also played in the third round, was okay on a high level. So in the end, I shared the first prize with John Ogden, wonderful pianist, very good friend of mine, and so I was okay with the Soviets. I did what they wanted. I got the first prize, although it was shared with another person, but it didn't matter. I was okay in their books. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was even sent again abroad to play in the United States, in England, etc., etc.
Let's stop for a moment in this going abroad to play in the United States, in England, etc. How easy was it under the Soviet Union regime to actually get out of Russia and go and play? Was it easy?
Well, they were interested in presenting their best musicians, or most famous, most who made good international careers, they wanted to present them in the West, of course. Because for them, it was very important to show to the West that the country is on a very high level culturally, musically, and in every sense. So when somebody was as prominent as I was, they thought they should send me abroad. It would be good for them to see, look, we have very good Soviet musicians. You see, that is the idea. So they sent me to America in 58, then in 62 again after the Tchaikovsky competition. So I was very happy to go and play all over the world. So that was, for us musicians who were on a high level in our country, in the Soviet Union, it was very good that they sent us to and play all over the world, you see. It was important for them, and for us it was fantastic.
Hmm. How true is the story that the KGB asked you to become an informer?
Well, it is true, because I was internationally famous, and because we had many foreign students in the conservatory, they asked me to report on what they say, how they behave, what they say about Russia, etc., etc., etc. So I couldn't say no, because if you say no, they think that you are not Soviet enough, you see? Plus, I was married to a foreigner on top of that. So I said, yes, of course, I will let you know. So each time they would ask me, so please come to our room. So what about this? I said, well, this, here, no problem. He never says anything particularly interesting. He never says anything negative about the Soviet Union. Just a good musician. He just practices all the time. How about this one? I would say something similar. So in the end, I didn't give them any information, you know. But I was very friendly. So in the end, they stopped asking me.
How important it is for you to know that Nikita Khrushchev, in his memoirs, mentions you and says that, in fact, you were allowed to go in and out of the Soviet Union for your concerts whenever you wanted. Was that true? Is that true, first of all?
Do you know, I was very impressed that he mentioned it at the very end of his memoirs. Just at the very end, in the last few pages, he mentioned that. What happened was this, that when my wife and I decided to stay in the West, it was in Britain, we decided to stay. The British gave us permission to stay. The Russians were terribly upset, although I didn't ask for political asylum. I was still keeping my Soviet passport. And I kept it for 9 years in the West. So I never became a terrible Westerner, you see. I'm joking, of course. Anyway, but I had my Soviet passport. And we, and the Soviet embassy in London, when we stayed in London in 1963, they said, look, we'll give you exit and entry visa. Please come, go back. Please talk to your parents, talk to the Ministry of Culture, please. We trusted them. So we decided to go back to Moscow for a few weeks, okay? And when we wanted to go back, it was difficult. I won't tell you, give you all the details. But Mrs. Furtseva, the Minister of Culture at that time, she was going to England for on an official visit, okay? And I wanted to go back to England, where we had residence. My wife had residence there, and I also had residence already. And she realized that not to let us go, and she's coming to England, would be diplomatically very difficult. So in the end, we were waiting and waiting and waiting for the permission. I spent already 1 month in Moscow playing concerts. And then I said, so where is my passport, that I can go. Wait, 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 they said. Finally, Minister of Culture, Mrs. Furtseva, asked me to come to her study in the Ministry of Culture. I thought, that's it, we will go back. So I come to her place, said, oh, hello, nice to see you, thank you for coming. When are you going back to London, she said. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I said, oh, I don't know, I should get my passport. Yeah, said, okay, I'll see you in London because I'm going there with an official visit. I said, great. So in the Ministry of Culture, I went to the passport office and I said, my passport now. They weren't terribly happy, but they realized that there's no way out. They get my passport with the exit visa. And after that, we didn't go to Russia for 26 years because I was afraid.
Now,
and Khrushchev, in the last few pages of his memoirs, says that I remember that the Minister of Culture asked me if I could let a famous pianist to go to England because his wife was English. She is actually not English, but he didn't realize she's Icelandic. But it doesn't matter because his wife was saying, I thought, of course, they should go. It's about time that we should be much easier with allowing foreign travel for people who have a good reason to ask for it. And it is in his memoirs, you see. So it's very interesting that she was afraid to do it herself. She asked him. And at that time, if you remember, the woman astronaut, Tereshkova, was flying around the Earth in the Russian spaceship. And they waited until she landed. She landed safely, and then it was okay for me to leave.
Interesting. Have you ever met Khrushchev yourself?
I met Khrushchev only once after this Tchaikovsky competition. He gave us a reception in the Kremlin, and that's when I met him. And he was there. Brezhnev was there. He, Brezhnev, Mikoyan, Kosygin, and a few other people, all very high. That was the government. And I remember I shook hands with them. I couldn't believe it. I was shaking hands with those people.
It has been a huge pleasure for me.
Pleasure. I enjoyed this conversation very much. I'm very impressed how much you know correctly, too. All the questions were very correct, very straight, and I'm very glad I could reply them on them.
Thank you.
Thank you.